Running a call center sales team is definitely filled with challenges, but at the same time, can be very rewarding. There is no manual for how to win the call center sales game, which is why this podcast exists. As your guide, our goal is to help you overcome challenges, discover new tools, innovate where possible, and hear stories from others who have made it to the top of the call center mountain. Welcome to the Scalable Call Center Sales Podcast with your host, Jason Cutter.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Scalable Call Center Sales Podcast. My name again is Jason Cutter, and I am excited to have another member of the Active Prospect team. Today, my special guest is Tracy Laney. Now, she is the National Sales Director for the Financial Services Department, the team at Active Prospect, and she came into that role and brings with her over 30 years of experience in so many different ways, creating business verticals, creating business development teams, sales, sales management, operational excellence, like so many different things, even stepping into this. And here's what's really cool about her is that I actually have met her several times. We're recording this in July of 2021. Conferences, in-person events are starting to come back. Actually had a chance to hang out with her several times and get to know her and see where everything she's bringing with her from a sales experience side lends itself really well to what she's doing at Active Prospect, which is what we'll talk about. And I know that this is going to be a fun conversation, and who knows where it's going to go. Tracy, welcome to the Scalable Call Center Sales Podcast.
Well, thank you very much for having me on. And yes, we tend to have fun when we are together. I think the first time virtually we've been together, we've actually been face to face every other time, which is unique in this environment.
Which is definitely funny because of, you know, where the world has been for 15, 18 months. And then, you know, for you and I to have met at conferences and then gone virtual with this when we're recording it. So much that I was excited. I was wanted to call it my previous podcast and, you know, get tongue tied because I just know that we're going to have fun because literally before we even hit record, we were having so much fun, we almost forgot. So for people who are listening, Active Prospect, which has a couple of main tools that it employs, one of the big things, and I like to point this out because it was confusing to me for the longest time, is that Active Prospect, which is huge in the lead generation space, isn't actually in the lead generation space. So it's not a company where you're generating leads, selling leads, marketing performance, but having two tools, which we'll talk about in the conversation, one being Trusted Form, which helps with compliance, and then one that's Lead Conduit, which helps with the flow of leads. So I always like to point that out, because I know, and I'm sure you get that a lot where people are confused by that. Where I want to start is let's talk about the fact that you have a vertical that you focus on with the team, which is financial services. That can be a vague term for some people. Like, what does that include? And where are these tools coming into play for them?
It is big. So my background's mortgage. That's where I've spent most of my life. So I do the mortgage speak. And then what I'm also focusing on is debt, credit, personal loans, anything that would fall under that vertical. Actually, debt collection, there's a conference that I've been on most of the day today, and I'll be on tomorrow as well. And not debt collection as working for debt collection, but actually some of the compliance side. I've had people reach out and say, hey, can you help us from a contactability side, not a TCPA side. So whole different use case for Trusted Form. So it's kind of a broad umbrella, but it's been pretty exciting because it's expanded my knowledge base from just everything you want to know about a 30-year fixed.
Okay. So one of the things I know is important is we got financial services. We got this umbrella and we've got all those different categories you talked about, right? From credit repair to loans, personal loans, mortgages, debt, you know, like debt settlement, debt management, all these debt related things. Let's talk about the difference. Or if you want to start with one vertical in particular, like where the market is now, the issues that are facing that, and maybe we'll take mortgage, like in mortgage, what are the biggest challenges that they've been dealing with? And then where is that industry going? What should they be looking out for?
You know, I worked for a company and had a huge call center, and I used to always call it this got milk campaign, right? Because you'd have a lead and then it'd go and then it would kind of be like, it dropped to the floor, right? And you always think got milk, like, wait, got milk, let's go get more of it. And I see that in a lot of call centers, the reps are like, that's an old lead, or it kind of dissipates and falls to the floor. And to me, that's just money, right? So the more you can optimize what you already have, and we're actually working on some integrations. I'm pushing really hard for that too. But it's how smart are you being with that? So one of the things that I look at it very consultative is what we do, right? Even though we're software and software kind of has a reputation of, you know, here, Jason, here you go. And, you know, here's your SaaS and see ya. That's not what we do. It's certainly not what I do. I'm big relationship building. This is about, you know, sitting down and saying, tell me what you're doing. Let's brain meld. So the idea kind of when I go in and talk to people, yes, it's about the safety pillar of TCPA. But what most people don't know is we have all sorts of insights we can gain from Trusted Form. And then we've got a whole plethora of marketplace integrations. So with my background specific to mortgage, you know, the ideas I come up with and say, hey, Jace, you've got a, you know, your center. And what happens if a lead comes in? And obviously you have an idea of you know, the value of the home, or at least what the consumer thinks their value is. So let's say maybe it was a jumbo, right? And, but you're using some of our data points and you know that, because we've got a whole metadata, man, we can get deep. Remember, we're all about enhancing. We're all about insights. We're all about intent, because all we do active prospect, right? We want you to have as much as you can on that lead, right? To maximize it. So you have a jumbo loan, and then within the data that we can provide, you're like, hey, look at what they've got. They have an iPhone, right? Because we already know there's a vast difference between people who have an iPhone and an Android, right? It's just a different type of consumer. Well, then we have marketplace integration. So if I can match those two things and then pull in, say, Telesign, and they're a Verizon carrier. Well, Verizon is much different than T-Mobile, right? Or a Tosser phone. So if I can help my mortgage companies kind of take that as example and say, you've got a jumbo loan, you've got a iPhone, you've got Verizon, all of that information there, it leans toward a really higher quality borrower from that information. So if you know that off the get-go, my recommendation would be route that to a more experienced loan officer. Like, you know, we all make more money off jumbo loans. That is something we can say, if we could go through lead conduit or pushing it into your CRM and route that to a more experienced loan officer, maybe there's even a different script to it, right? Well, you have a better chance of converting that. And with lead conduit, we can help track those conversions off that data. So that's going to let you go in and really look over time and say, hey, this is working. So now we can look at the volume coming in. We can track that. Those are some things, like the same thing could happen. You could use lead conduit and say, you know, runoff is such a huge thing, right? We all know it's easier to keep a loan in-house than to go replace it. And even though refis are slowing down, that makes runoff even more important. So we have the ability to even load a servicing portfolio into lead conduit. So you're purchasing a lead and it pings against it. And it's like, oh my goodness, this is a cutter file. And he's been on our portfolio for 2 years now. Same thing. We could help you have that data and route that to a retention pod. Again, whole different scripting, whole different loan officer mentality. Their job is to, you know, keep that lead in-house. Maybe they're a few more aggressive with what they can do with, you know, rates, intent, everything else there. So we really can get smart about what information you have coming in with those leads to help, in that case, keep that loan in-house or to route to have better intelligence, to have better scripting and have the right loan officer picking up that phone. So those are some things that we're really tossing out those ideas to say, yeah, not all leads are equal, but what are you doing with your leads to differentiate where they go and what data are you pulling in to figure out where they should go? And that's what a lot of people don't understand that we can help them do.
Yeah. And one little gem that you put in there, which is the retention piece, right? So maybe someone fills out a form or something happened, but they're already in the portfolio and you don't want to lose them, right? A lot of times that list might get separated or you just don't even buy that lead. But in this case here, if that's triggered, you want to understand that that person is taking that action and maybe they're shopping and then you want to save them, right? So I think what's fascinating and cool to think about just the technology that's available in general now versus, let's say, you know, the mortgage business that you and I know from 20 years ago, which is how many different ways a company can take in data, deal with data, and potentially win if they have these systems in place to create this like scalable sales operation.
Oh yeah. And there's just so many things that we can do to help out with that. And even back to the retention thing, because, you know, sometimes you have your call center new business and then you have the retention and they don't always communicate, you know, the call center may not really care because it's numbers, but that's where really in the mortgage business, you know, especially if you kind of get all the C's talking, that kind of benefits a company holistically. And that's kind of where my experience comes in. I can talk to all the divisions of the company. It's not just me being, you know, a call center talking leads. I understand the differences of the leads. And if you start looking at, you know, lead count coming in, and if you can start saving, you know, 10, 15, 20, 50, 100 leads that are already in the portfolio, that's pretty massive.
Huge.
Yeah. I mean, it's, so I kind of get everybody saying, I know this is your job and I know this is over here, but have you guys thought about taking this and having that bifurcation of where those leads go? Because you got guys on this side of the house just dialing for dollars, you know, trying to keep people in house where they're already coming in the front door.
Right.
You know, so just making people think.
Yeah. And breaking down those silos when talking to a company and just in general. Right. And this is one of the big things I always push for and luckily have always been in charge prior to being a consultant, which was in charge of sales and marketing and usually some aspect of operations because it's one customer and it's one company. And then everyone else there is just one team and not so siloed like you're talking about. So I don't always like to be negative. I usually don't like to be negative, but sticking with the mortgage space, what are companies doing? I just want to say wrong. Like, where are they missing the mark or where are they struggling with most, the ones that you just wish you could like get your hands on them and like have them listen to you?
I would say a lot of them, they have marketplace integrations, but they're doing it after they buy the lead. I mean, people don't realize, you know, lead conduit, think of it as a big tube, right? And I'm a very professional, scientific, you know, sassy talk. It's a big tube, right? So with one integration into lead conduit, you have access to, you know, 32 integrations. And so when you look at, you know, known litigators, Blacklist, DNC, Telesign, Bright Verify for email, Ekata, Anura, Fraud, it's, you don't have all these different contracts for one. You don't have integration, so your IT team doesn't hate your guts or say, yeah, you can have it in 3 months when we have time. And you're not committing to them. It's plug and play. So you can actually kind of go on a monthly while you're figuring out a tech stack. But when I talk to people, they're like, oh, yeah, we have Blacklist. I'm like, okay, but Blacklist is after they bought the lead. Okay, well, what people don't realize with Lead Conduit, we have all sorts of things that you can reject up front. Right. So time on page, right? They were on the page 4 seconds is a bad actor. But why would you buy that lead? Reject that lead, right? If it's a known litigator, why do you even want them anywhere? Get them out of your house. Yes. So there are all sorts of things we can set up, you know, a duplicate. Let's start with that. Did you just buy that lead, right? Market's compressing. So you're buying, please get me on my performance marketing dating site. We'll talk about that here in a minute. But you know, get your duplicates and then go through just the litany of, can you contact them? If it's a known litigator, email's not contactable, phone isn't, why are you even buying that lead? Because remember from the lead provider too, and I actually had Matt Tillman from Right Marketplace on one of the webinars we did address it. Nobody really, you know, you say, oh, reject leads and nobody's thrilled with it. But the reality, if this is happening in under a second, it's a real-time lead, they can go sell somewhere else, right? Yeah. And so that's a conversation you need to have with your lead providers, but you have that benefit. It's still real time instead of age data truing up later, but you have all of that ability that you can do the reject, but people are buying the lead and then running it through separately. And so now you're not going to call the litigator, right? Or you know the telephone doesn't work. Okay. Now you're going to put them on an email campaign. Okay. Well, how's that working for you? Where you could actually run lead conduit, the phone doesn't work, you could do an email campaign, then watch your conversions, see if that worked. If you're saying we're really not getting conversions off that, well, then you could choose to reject off a bad phone number later. I mean, there are all these combinations by plugging and playing that you can look and figure out, is this working? So you're A/B testing your own tech stack without the commitment of all of these contracts. So that's the flexibility that we have. So it's not that what they're doing wrong. They just put themselves into contracts that they're spending all this money and they don't even know if they're going to work, you know, and then they don't test it because they're stuck with it anyway.
Yeah. And it's maybe not fully integrated. I mean, I've seen that a lot internally when I've at organizations I've been, and then now as a consultant, where people are buying the tools, either they're talked into it by a salesperson or they're trying to fix their sales ops problem by buying new tools, right? That's like wanting a better car. So you like just keep buying tools for the garage, but you don't use them or know how to use them. And so it just ultimately doesn't work.
And you're making so fun of my exercise equipment. Are you making fun of my exercise equipment? You know?
No, not at all. Okay, maybe a little. No, but like, you know, it's one of those things where it's like just buying it and having it, or like you said, frustrating the crap out of your tech team, your IT team, people who are integrating it or having to deploy it, isn't necessarily going to solve it. Where I always think simple is better, because just because you have all the tools, if it's too complicated, it still won't work.
And people don't realize you can bring your own credentials for just about anything. For Lead Conduit, can do a call out to just about anything. So again, instead of having all this spaghetti of what your stack looks like, you can start cleaning everything up with Lead Conduit. And you could have, you know, your trusted form, your TCPA, your marketplace integrations. And then, okay, you want this? Well, boom, we can call out to that. And it just streamlines everything. And it's still just these very simple integrations into what we have. I mean, we've been doing this for 16 years, because that's the other thing. People forget we were around for lead integrity long before TCPA ever became a thing. That's what we were created for. Are you who you say you are? Are you selling me what I think I'm supposedly buying? And let me verify that. So this technology has been around. It's proven. We deal, if you've been on our website, you know, we've got massive logos that we do business with. And one of the reasons they use us is, really, it's to move data. At the end of the day, it's to move large amounts of data and to do it in a seamless way, to do it effortlessly. And we deal with some of the biggest logos you've ever heard, because it's easier for us to do it than for them to go create their own. And that is one thing I see in the mortgage business. It kind of makes me giggle, because everybody wants to build their own. And, you know, in this market pivot that we're starting to see, you know, you have to go and you have to get it together, and you have to have the team, and then you have the enterprise change team that comes in, and then you have the project managers, and then you start to build it, right? But then you have the whole maintaining of it, and you start looking at the cost of building something and the maintenance of it over years. And I'm kind of like, we can do this for you. You have a whole team. You know, you start using it, you have ideas, we have an ongoing project board. If it's something that makes sense, maybe we'll even develop something for you. We do that as well, that what we do advancements on or what our customers have brought and said, this is what we need. You have an incredible 24-hour support team. They even have the little things that go, bzz, you know, buzz them up in the middle of the night when something happens. There's just so much support and ideas and, you know, people go and spend $1 billion and then come back to us and say, let's start talking about this again. And the mortgage company, more than any other vertical, that's what I see the most in the mortgage company. You know, we want to own it. We want to build it. And it's so expensive. And the maintenance is ongoing forever. And how do you keep it updated? I mean, I look at our huge amount of engineers keeping updated what we do. And mortgage companies don't have floors of engineers, but they want to build their own stuff.
So most of what you were talking about a few minutes ago is either what works and or what you wish they would do, but it seems like that's across all industries, right? Like having an integrated tech stack and having a simpler solution earlier in the pipeline, not just mortgage, but everybody. So let's pivot just a little bit and talk about some of the other verticals like debt, and where debt has different challenges or operates different, or what are you seeing that debt, as opposed to the mortgage side, needs to be watching out for? If somebody's listening to this and they're running a debt call center or sales team, like what are you seeing it's working or not working and what they should be aware of?
I love debt. Debt has been so much fun for me because I'm a constant learner. So I went to the AFCC in Miami. I think you were there. I think pizza was involved at some point. Yep. Very good pizza. So AFCC was very interesting for me because it actually was one of those, it's compliant. So everybody was in the room. So I got to learn a lot. What's amazed me about debt, because I've been running since Miami, debt is siloed in the fact, and you and I were talking about this earlier, that people go to work for companies and they stay. And there's not a lot of movement, unlike the mortgage company where people will move around. So there's not a lot of tribal knowledge where people share knowledge by moving around to different companies. And I actually have been shocked, is not too strong of a word, that they don't know much about TCPA. Like literally, I'm bringing on companies that they didn't understand, for one, how easy it is to get protected with trusted form from TCPA claims. They, I'm trying to think even a way to put it, it's just surprised me. And then from a lead acquisition point of view, I've been, this goes to my performance marketing dating site, it's just being able to introduce them to lead providers that are trusted vendors of ours. But in debt, they also, again, going back to, you can do things smarter, right? We have suppression lists. We can put anything in a suppression list, which is going back to a servicing portfolio for mortgage. But they do a lot of direct mail, a lot of prepaid credit cards. They do a lot of direct mail. So if you've got direct mail and you have digital, well, I'm showing them how we can load up, you know, your direct mail pieces and what's coming in digital, and you can work that data with each other. So you know, again, so if you have direct mail, somebody hit, or pardon me, a digital, somebody hits on a form, but you know, you've already touched them a couple times with direct mail. Well, again, why you want that one to go to the top of the, you know,
Yeah.
So, but they haven't been using any of that information. It's just another lead, right? Now, I would rather, if it's costing me a buck, right, to do a prepaid credit card because of the cost of mail, and I've already mailed to them twice and they're coming in digitally and I can stop this. Oh my goodness. So just showing them the tools that we can use to help them, not even, well, it's cut costs, but, also through the website that the consumer's coming in on can even over time translate into, okay, this is where the websites are hitting. They put in creatives into those mailers. So we could even target some of, help them target to those websites, what's getting their attention. I mean, so again, it's, we have all this information that we can sit down and say, here's some things for you to think about. Here's some things we can help you track. It's just a whole new space that really they haven't met Tracy. They haven't met Active Prospect. And so that's become very exciting because they're hungry to learn. So it's really, really good people, really, really good programs. They just really don't know what all is available to them.
Hey, it's Jason here. We'll be right back to the podcast in a moment. But first, are you ready to help your inside sales team close more deals? In my experience, there's a certain percentage of your team that acts more like order takers than sales professionals. The first step to creating a scalable sales team is to equip your reps with the right mindset and proven strategies to transform them into quota breakers. To build a team of authentic persuaders that will crush their goals, email jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com or go to www.cutterconsultinggroup.com. So you had mentioned too that like with the debt, you're surprised how much they don't know about TCPA compliance stuff. They're just playing the game that they're playing. What are you seeing as far as like the adoption or the trends of companies, whether you're talking to them or just in the industry now that you've spent time in there, where they're wanting to be compliant, they're knowing that they need to take care of it versus, and this is a group, and I know that we've talked about it and I've talked to some other attorneys about it, where there's the group that just says, I'll just deal with the fines and the penalties instead of being proactive and compliant.
Well, it's interesting because there are two different parts of that, right? I mean, you're going to have both. I mean, in every vertical, they have that. But what is very interesting, and I can't quote it off the top of my head, I'll be happy to follow up with it. But there was just a case that I was made aware of where there was a company that was sued and for TCPA, and they went to their insurance company and was like, oh, golly gee, here we go again. And the insurance company took them to court and the insurance company won, and they were able to prove that the company was operating willfully with knowledge that they were not TCPA compliant and they did not have to pay the claim.
Wow.
So I think there's, you know, the things like that that are out there. But overall, I will say it's people want to be compliant. I mean, they do. And so it's a matter of sitting down and figuring out. I think the hardest thing is, quite honestly, and I'm very transparent, is budgeting. You know, they're like, oh my goodness, now I know we have a problem. Let's figure out a budget. And that's one thing that I think Active Prospect's very good about, is that we sit with, you know, being safe, then being efficient, then being scalable. And so I tell everybody, we're like Legos. So let's get the foundation done first. And so it's like, let's just get you TCPA compliant. And there's a lot of data we can get done there, you know, so using debt, you know, there's more coverage there than anywhere else. So there are things we can do also for intent. So when I tell them we can scan pages for a free iPad, right? And we can scan for consent language to make sure their approved language is on there. And those are things that we can take care of them and protect them for. So there are a lot of things that we can help improve their lead quality and make them TCPA compliant. Then I'm like, look, once you improve those leads, you start rejecting the ones that are bad, that aren't compliant, that are want a free iPad, that are 4 seconds on a page, that are coming from out of the country, you know, all of those things, then take that same money. Then let's take, I'm really big at converting your same money. And then now take that into a known litigator. Now take that into checking phone numbers. Now take that in and start building your tech stack with the same money. Because, you know, we see it in verticals all across, kind of an average of 15 to 20% of the leads that get kicked. But we see about a 5x ROI improvement by using kind of a full tech stack of improving the lead quality over there. But I like to try to use that same money. So makes more sense than kind of going and begging your team to start moving numbers around in the columns mid-year. Well,
and I think that's the biggest thing. And obviously, I've been fortunate to work with some companies as a consultant where they get it, right? They're open to it, which is why they're engaging someone like me. But I think that's the biggest thing. If people are listening to this and they're like, adding trusted form is an expense and running this through Anura, like I had Rich Kahn on the podcast as well. And it's like, okay, that's going to be an expense. I'm just adding all these things a la carte. It's going to make for it very expensive. But stepping back and instead of looking at those costs, looking at the investments and then calculating some kind of return on investment, like what would that mean though, both or including, obviously there's the saving of the leads and then converting more, but like, what about your reps time? What about the technology? What about compliance? What about the legal side? I mean, even down to the fact of just having your reps talk to 20% less people that are garbage that you're chasing, like what if they use that time and they're more effective? Like how many essentially, you know, hours of labor are you saving? And then how are they productive? And then there's the morale of them, yeah, you know, having good conversations.
Well, you know, we are called Active Prospect, right? Like raise your hand. We are consent-based marketing. I mean, we do believe that is the best channel for customer acquisition, right? It's consent-based. Consent-based is I'm raising my hand. I mean, Steve will tell you he's the most mellow guy in the world, but he will stomp his foot and say, no consent, no call. I mean, that is what his mission is. But it's that sounds up front like, well, but when you everything you just said, when you have a back room, I mean, we're all in the call center business. It's tough. Man, it is just dialing for dollars. And when you start to get those incremental changes, it's like when you start to see, oh, this amount of leads we were able to stop up front. You know, then you also have from a management point, this amount of leads were known litigators, right? Now, these amount of leads, look at what's our contactability rate improvement, you know, to be able to say, no, Ms. Smith, you really, this, you did remember, and here's blah, blah, blah. Or you get that first claim in and you're like, hey, Mr. Cutter, no problem. Your email is, let me take, because that's the other thing. Remember, we sit on your CRM. There's no cold storage. There's no, hey, I want this. So as soon as somebody says, you called me, you're not supposed to, right? Whether it's an attorney or an individual, that moment you have access to a share URL that's going to have not only that search, but it's going to have an actual video replay of every keystroke, every oops. If you ever seen the demo with me doing it, you see all my oops. Apparently I can't type under pressure, you know, every keystroke, and they're going to have that instantly. And that's where our customers tell us they just go away. I mean, just because it's right there. And the fact that there's no, you know, people talk speed to lead being so important in our business. Well, I look at it when you have a claim, as fast as you can get that proof to them, within 5 to 7 days, you get people getting really excited. They get themselves wound up. If it takes that long to go get evidence, we've got it right there. And so, I mean, those, all those little incremental things, better lead quality, better morale, here's your trusted form if there's a claim, those things really add up and just in the whole ecosystem of better lead quality for your call center.
So let's shift a little bit once more. So you've been on the operational side, but then also in sales and sales leadership for quite a big chunk of your career, right? It passed before this and then now in this. The part that I am curious about and want to know more about, because this is the Scalable Call Center Sales Podcast, is what are you seeing as an evolution of sales and sales strategies that you're seeing with the clients and companies that you feel are successful in their vertical and in their industry? And or where do you see the consumer changing and what they are looking for when they're interacting, right? Because you, yes, you're not dealing with the sales side directly, but you're seeing the results of that. And I know that you're picking up on who's doing sales well and what they're doing.
That's an interesting question, because it's not a simple answer, right? If you look at the mortgage business and you look at these companies that are amazing and what they've done, you know, and what they've built, even though they all technically have the same product, it's different, right? I see consistency where they, and first of all, I applaud mortgage specifically that they were able to take these call centers offsite. That to me is the most phenomenal, because you take what is traditionally an incredible tight environment, very structured, and they've still done incredibly well. So it's interesting to me to see who's starting to bring people back, who's going hybrid. I think the flexibility, I'm in awe. I mean, if you would have told me 2.5 years ago, I'd been like, no way are they going to do this. I mean, my environment was team leads walking around the pods and people airdropping on calls. And it's not experimenting, but I just see different ways people are doing business. So some just do extremely well with the script. You know, they bring people in and they put them through all of the testing. They don't want people with experience, right? Because they want to take them from ground up and they know one way. And saw that being a kind of a way people were doing it. And then what's been interesting is to see the competitive environment in the call centers, to where now they've gotten so good at what they're doing, right? That now you're seeing call centers with the same demand to grab LOs that you're seeing from boots on the ground, you know, from the retail environment. And that's been very interesting to me, because I've seen that morph over the last couple of years, where there's the recruiting is just as aggressive from one call center to another. I know of an example where somebody was in a major city call center environment and literally grabbed a couple people on a recruiting. They went, called their buddies, and went from one parking lot on one side and all walked across to the other parking lot later in the day. So that to me has been very interesting, where it's really coming down to the quality of the salespeople and just that they get it. I think that's been interesting also. I think from a call center environment where years ago it was kind of, look, we're going to pay them this and then we're going to kind of bonus them. But I've been impressed to watch these companies really realize it's not so much keeping call center like, oh, here's field sales and here's call center. I mean, the amount of call center reps that are out earning people on the street is phenomenal. I mean, again, I applaud them, the amount of money that's being made in call centers, and that management realized, look, sky's the limit. Like, we're not, go, right. Run. What can we do for you? So I'm not giving you a really clear answer, because it's every shop is so different. And to me, I guess my answer is, I don't have an answer. I've seen the adaptability move in ways that I just applaud the industry. I mean, that's the only way I can say it. I'm seeing things I'm amazed.
The answer is great, because it's the adaptability, it's the flexibility, and then it's also realizing it's about the people. And there's one part that you mentioned, which I think is important, which you talked about companies that are hiring new people with no experience and then training them, basically molding them the way they want. And it's not that that's the only way to go. It's just that as an organization, what I tell people all the time is, you got to know who you're willing to hire and then invest in, and how long you need before they're closing deals. and then also how much of a fit you have to have them be within your system, and then hiring right, because then you can succeed, whether it's veterans or it's, you know, people with no experience. And then, yeah, it's that recruiting piece. Where do you see sales going from dealing with consumers? Do you see consumers changing? They're looking for what they want. How do they want to be interacted with, whether within Active Prospect or just in the landscape of sales, because you've been around it and managing it for a while now?
If you would have told me 5 years ago, I'd go online, click a few things, and somebody bring a car to my front door. You know, I just, it's just very interesting to me, you know, where actually my daughters and I were having this conversation. My oldest daughter's going to college in a couple of weeks. And so we're looking for some things. There's some differences, you know, what she's very comfortable getting online without even questioning. Right. Just get it online. And I'm like, ooh, it's resold on Marketplace on Facebook. And not exactly, it's not like the local next door thing. Right. You know, from a consumer point, that was no big deal to her. To me, I'm a little bit more skeptical. You know, let me do a little bit of homework. Are there we want ease. I think there's going to be a big change with so many people moving out of the cities. You know, I look at the amount of people just being in Texas last week, and I'm from California originally, and you've got people who are moving out. They're not moving to back to the cities. I mean, you're moving to Austin, but you're in the suburbs, and it's an hour drive or more. It gets real convenient to be on online, even if you're not an online shopper, you know, and you know where I live in the middle of the sticks. I'm online, you know, it takes a lot for me to go somewhere. So there's an evolution. To me, I am surprised of the big buys. Like I said, the car buys. I think the mortgage industry has morphed even into the purchase market. We saw that during COVID. And I think COVID pushed that, you know, with the market movement where you couldn't wait to go see the house. You couldn't wait to go. I mean, you were getting pre-qualified. You were putting in your offers. So that, I think, has been great for the mortgage business, because if it was still more traditional, people weren't kind of stuck at home. People are tangible, I think, to a large degree with purchase. And we got moved out of that market. And so that is also interesting to see what mortgage companies are mastering the purchase from a call center environment, and others that are still hitting, you know, they're pretty much refi. They don't quite have that down, because again, that is more scripting if you don't have loan officers that have been in that environment before. Purchase is very different. You are fighting that local realtor. There's a lot of dynamics in that. So home purchase, it'll be interesting to see the stats as we go, what were call center closes comparatively. That's going to be interesting to me.
Well, and I think some of that, what you were just sharing, is the convenience factor, the instant gratification factor, the fact that people don't want to wait. Like you were talking about the housing market during COVID, where you couldn't go or you had to wait. It's like, you don't have that time. And then I also wonder, like your car example, where I had a friend who did that, where he ordered it from an app, and then it got delivered to him. How much of that is a reaction to how people feel about having to deal with salespeople and what they don't want to have to put up with, or what they expect or think they're going to have to deal with? And an indication, right? That's what I say all the time, is like, if you think sales is not a bad word, look at the fact that someone would rather order a car from a vending machine than go into a dealership and deal with somebody and roll the dice on how it's going to go.
I had a terrible car buying experience last year. Terrible. And I got to tell you, I do not stay angry about anything. And it was such a stereotypical female goes into a car dealership kind of thing. And I might die in this car. Let me just tell you that. Because to your point, my girlfriend got one of the car online things. And basically it was within X amount of time, return it, no questions asked. Yeah. And had I had that, I would have returned my car within 2 days. And to me, that is something I would definitely look at, whatever I did the next time, on what's a return policy. Yeah. Because there was something about the car that they said, oh, too bad. And I will look at my exit strategy for the next car I get because of this experience. And I'm got to tell you, if you tell me I'd buy a car online like that, I would have laughed at you. But if I have an exit strategy, to your point, I will definitely look at that option.
Well, and it's interesting, because I wish I could have seen it or been a fly on the wall, knowing you as well as I've gotten to know you over the past like 4 months, and knowing what they probably assumed as you come in all nice and sweet to buy a car, and they don't know like your sales experience and all your background in business and operations and stuff and what they thought they were going to do. Yeah.
But it's over my skis. It's a car.
Yeah.
Right. I'm at the mercy.
Yeah.
That's just something that's just not, even though it was sales, that's just not.
But the unknown. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not something I'm good at. That'd be like, go buy a John Deere, you know, Caterpillar. All right. What do you know?
Yeah. You have no idea. Well, and that's the thing for sales organizations to keep in mind too, is that, and this is what I make sure people remember in sales operations, is if a consumer is filling out a form and willing to take a call or make a phone call from a letter or whatever that looks like, they really want the help and they're really looking for guidance. It's up to you to do it right and help them make the right decision, you know, versus the experience you had. So I'm so glad you're here. It's been so fun chatting with you and the other members and, you know, having these conversations with active prospect from these different verticals, which for me, and anyone knows me, like debt and finance, that's pretty much where I've spent all of my career in call centers and running and selling. So I knew this was going to be super fun. So I love it. For people who are interested in finding out more, I know they can go to activeprospect.com. I know that there's a ton of information. You mentioned it earlier, lots of case studies, lots of information, blogs, articles, things like that. I also know that people can find you. You're pretty active on LinkedIn. So Tracy Laney, L-A-N-E-Y, if they look you up, you're on LinkedIn. Anywhere else that you know, people can find you, people can find what you're doing?
Yeah, I would definitely LinkedIn, all my contacts there. I actually answer my cell phone. I'm very active with the conferences. And then just one other thing that I did want to point out, and I do joke about it a little bit, but it's become something that I'm really happy that I'm engaged with. The big disconnect I found in our industry is that, especially when markets are changing or expanding, people don't know where to go and find new sources. And I bust on my lead vendors, friends, because I'm like, your names are so weird. Like, if they're going to go look for lead providers, they can't Google it. I'm like, do you even have a marketing department for you being in marketing? A kind of thing. And what I really am encouraging people right now across, you know, all verticals, especially in finance, you know, debt's getting ready to take off, right? And credit, just because these moratoriums are coming off, these forbearances are coming off, checks are getting cut off or slowing down. You know, people are going to have to start paying things that they haven't. I mean, they really, because they've also been hurting in many cases because mm-hmm. things weren't being able to be collected. So they're positioning, they're looking for more traffic. Mortgages, we're seeing some compression. You know, people are looking. And so a lot of times what they will do is they'll go to the bigger names that are known industry-wide. I mean, consumers know them. And those are some incredible companies, right? But there are a lot of people who, I just am a relationship person. Right. I mean, I have friends in the business that I've had for decades with S's on there. And so I just tell people, start having conversations now. Right. Start having them now, because it's important that I could call you and say, hey, Jason, we got things are changing. Tell me what you're doing. What kind of campaigns are you running? Let's talk about this. That this industry really likes to help each other out. Right. Now, they like making money off each other, don't get me wrong, but I really like the fact that I can connect people. And even connecting some people and coming, I've just really even said, you need to go talk to this person over here. I think I've even done that with you, just because I feel there's a lot of people running in tandem that if they just have some communication, there's just some really good ideas that are happening. There's some people who, you know, in mortgage business that I could say, hey, have you met these people? Go talk to them. In debt, same thing. You know some of these people. Do you even know these people over here? I have another friend in the industry and they just opened up two different verticals, right? I'm like, oh, goodness. Well, here, let me just make a couple phone calls. Do you know about this? And that's why I laugh and say I'm dating, because there's just, you know, we've got Randy who's setting up a publisher program for us. There's just not really a place where people can find that information. And Active Prospect is pretty proud of the fact that we really are a place to connect people. And that's something that's really important to us. So I just kind of wanted to put that out there too, that if you are looking to buy, to sell, getting your name out there, we'd love to hear from you. We can definitely help amplify that information.
Well, and I'm glad that you said that. And I will second that about you in particular. I've always tried to do that and collect information and know who to connect people with, but you take it to a completely different level, especially when you're running around in person at conferences, literally grabbing people and introducing them to others like in the moment. So yes, I second that. Anyone's listening to this and you're in those spaces or you're looking for those recommendations, definitely reach out to you. And yeah, that'd be great. So thank you for being here and sharing everything on the show. I appreciate you and what you're doing for the industry and for everything you shared today.
Well, this has been wonderful. Cannot wait to see you three-dimensionally very soon.
Once again, we'll do it. Well, thanks for joining, and we'll catch everyone on the next episode.
You got it, sweetie. Take care.
Did you get some inspirations of ways to help your call center sales team win bigger, stronger, and faster? Hope you are fired up to scale your sales operations. If you got value from this podcast, please go in and leave a rating and review. Also, make sure to forward this episode to anyone else you know in the call center space. We appreciate your support in growing the scalable call center sales podcast family. And if you have any comments, ideas, or feedback, contact us at cutterconsultinggroup.com.